This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وكرمنا بالنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty and glory And peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I testify that there is no God except Allah And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue what we started with last week, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. And as we mentioned, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, had gained 40, the most 40 important a hadith in Islam, in his view and his opinion, and he put them all together in one book that later on that book was recognized and known as the 40 Hadith An-Nawawi. They named the hadith, they named the book after the nickname of Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. We mentioned last week a small biography of Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and how he contributed into the Islamic library and Islamic knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him a great reward and the greatest rewards that Allah rewards a scholar over his students. And we spoke about the first hadith last week. The hadith was about the intentions. And that hadith, as we mentioned, a very important and vital hadith in Islam that you realize and see most of the scholars, when they start a book of a hadith, they start their book with that hadith from what they see. It is important to remind one another about sincerity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind, indeed the reminder benefits the believers. And of course, these gatherings are all reminders that we all need to remind one another. And if Allah azza wa jalla said, are those who believe need that reminder, then how about those who are very away from belief? Those who have the iman and those who have the belief and those who have the piety and those who have the taqwa need the constant reminder, then how would it be for those who are very far away from the iman and very far away from the belief and very far away from the obedience? They need a lot more reminder than this. We enter the second hadith that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala from his ijtihad, on his effort, sees that as considered to be most important hadith, the hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks about al-ihsan. He speaks about al-islam, al-iman, al-ihsan. And then he speaks about the day of judgment. This hadith alone had put the most important pillars in Islam. And it's laid down the foundation and the pillars of Islam. And this hadith, inshallah, I'll read it in Arabic. And I do advise you, I do recommend to you that you do memorize this hadith in Arabic. And it is a good thing that every week that we go through a hadith, you memorize that hadith, so you could have a portion, so you could have a portion that you've memorized the hadith. عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم اطلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. قال صدقت. فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدق. قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان. قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. قال صدقت. قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان. قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. قال فأخبرني عن الساعة. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل؟ قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها. قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. ثم انطلق فلبثت مليا ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. رواه مسلم. This hadith, as we just narrated, was the narration in Arabic. We narrate this hadith in English as it been narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says, one day while he was sitting down with the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white and whose hair were exceedingly black. No sign of a journey were to see on him, and none of us knew him. He walked up and sat down by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, resting his knees against his and placing the palms of his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Islam is to testify that there is no God except Allah Azza wa Jal, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, to perform the prayers, to pay the zakat, to fast Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. He said, you have spoken rightly. This guest, this stranger asking the Prophet ﷺ a question, in return, when the Prophet ﷺ answers him, he says, what he said is true. Amazing. The people around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were amazed. And were amazed at him asking him and saying that he had spoken rightly. He said, then tell me about the iman. He said, it is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and the belief of the, in the divine destiny, both the good and evil are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, you have spoken rightly. He said, then tell me about Ihsan. He said, it is to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. And while you see Him not, that you don't see Him, He truly He sees you, Allah Almighty and Glory. He said, then tell me about the hour, the day of judgment. He said, the one questioned about it knows better than the questioner. Subhanallah. The companions are just more amazed. This person asking questions, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies, and then he tells him it's true what he said. Then what are you asking if you know the answer? And then when they asked him about the day of judgment, he said that the one that's asking knows better. So there's something going on there. Imagine yourself in that scene and someone just out of nowhere pops up and he speaks to the Prophet ﷺ like that. And then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he was asked, then tell me about its signs. If you don't know when it is, then tell me about its sign. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and that you'll see the barefooted, naked, disturbed herdsmen competing in construction, in high-rise buildings. Then he took himself off and stayed. And then Umar al-Khattab said, I stayed for a time. Then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, O Umar, do you know who was the questioner? So Umar said, Allah and His Prophet and His Messenger know best. He said, it was Jibreel who came to teach you your religion. So out of nowhere, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as they always are, and they were always with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around him. And the companions, you're always to always be around the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. They don't come just once a night, once a week, or twice a week, or one salah a week, or one salah a day. They used to constantly be around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they used to constantly want to hear from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they used to always compete with one another, who'll be at the front line and around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they'd never want to miss out from the news or the new revelation or the new teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So those who used to live far, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I used to rotate with one of my neighbors. He goes this prayer, I go the next prayer, or when he goes, we bring back the information to each other. That's how they were radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to always compete to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to learn the new revelation and the new knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So here the companions, as they usually are around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and out of nowhere a stranger just comes in. Subhanallah, this stranger must be out of Medina. Outside Medina is a desert, just full of dust. So if this stranger just traveled, where's the signs of traveling over him? He must be dusty, he's there all over the place, tired, exhausted, thirsty. But subhanAllah, this stranger that just came in, his clothes are so wide, they just came out of a shower. But how could that happen? This person coming out, just coming into the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ, like he's just part of Medina and he's not, and he's a traveler and doesn't, no signs of travel appear on him. And they said that he had a very dark beard and a very, very white clothes. So there was something sus that the companions were so amazed. And then this person out of nowhere, that they know that they've never seen this person with the Prophet ﷺ, he comes straight to the Prophet ﷺ, puts his knees before the knees of the Prophet ﷺ, and puts his hands over the thighs of the Prophet ﷺ. What an amazing act that the close ones to the Prophet ﷺ don't even do. The close ones to the Prophet ﷺ don't even do that. Those close ones to the Prophet ﷺ don't put their knees in front of the knees of the Prophet ﷺ and put their thighs, put their hands over his thighs. It's like, you know, they've known him for a long time. This man out of nowhere, wallah, he's taking and his comfort with the Prophet ﷺ. And then he asks him the most important questions in Islam and the principles of Islam. He asks him about Islam. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ replies back to him. And then this man, after he asked him, usually people ask because they don't know. But this man asked, and after the Prophet ﷺ answered, he said, it's true what you said. Subhanallah, then what's the point of you asking if you know the answer? So the companions became more sus. They became more suspicious and became more worried about the issue. And then he asked him another question about the iman. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ answers him. And he tells him, that's correct what he just answered. Subhanallah. So the companions become more suspicious about the issue. But they keep in quiet. Why? Because the teacher and their prophet and messenger Muhammad is there. So they're waiting for his reply. And then he asks them about Ihsan. And maybe they've probably never heard about the Ihsan before. So this man knows more than what they know. And then the Prophet ﷺ answers him. And then he tells him it's true what he said. And then he tells him about the Day of Judgment. When is it? So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ shocks the whole people who are gathered around him. He tells him, the one that's asking knows more than the one that's been asked. Allahu Akbar. So who the hell is this man? Who's he? Who's that man that just came in? Where do we know him from? Have you experienced him? Have you met him before? So they were so shocked. The one that asked. So this man that's asking the Prophet ﷺ, who is the most knowledgeable one to us, he knows more than him. So he told him, yeah, مَا الْمَسْؤُولَ عَنَا بِعَلَمْ نَسَّائِلِ. The one that's asking knows better than the one that's been asked. And the one that's been asked does not know more than the one that's asking. So he told him, then ask me about its signs. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told him his signs. After the whole thing took, and after the stranger came in, and he finished from the Prophet ﷺ, he took off. And the companions, like, you know, they are shocked and amazed, just sitting down, just trying to figure out and puzzled what just took place now. Nothing made sense in front of them, which makes sense to us. If we're around them, I don't think anything will make sense. So Umar ibn Khattab knew there's something there. And most of the companions knew there's something there. So they stayed waiting for the Prophet ﷺ to solve the puzzle for them, to explain what just took place. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told Umar, oh Umar, because Umar is always the one that wants to know, always he's aware of things, And Umar ibn Khattab is the one that's, you know, very hard for things to go past him without recognizing it. So he told him, Umar, do you know who just came in? He said, the Prophet Allah. And in a way, you know what's going through in my mind. You know, I'm puzzled. There's nothing makes sense to me here. But Allah and His Prophet know better. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved the puzzle, solved the confusion by saying, it was Jibreel that came in a form of a human being to teach you your religion. It was Jibreel that came in a form of a human being just to teach you your religion. Just to show you the important things in Islam. He asked those questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Jibreel in your position as being a student of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he could come and ask those questions that would teach you. Look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah azza wa jal, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses His creation to spread the message of Islam. And that was one of the ways of the revelation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the ways that Jibreel is to come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is to come to him in a form of a human being. Like what happened in this hadith. And he's to come in a form of another different looking of people. And most, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to say, he used to come in a form of a companion by the name Dihya al-Kilbi. A companion, his name is Dihya al-Kilbi. He was a very good looking companion. Jibreel used to come a lot in that figure. And he used to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a form like the noise of the bee. And that was the harshest one to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like, you know, the noise of a bell or a bee that's coming next to his ear and speaking to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to find that the hardest way on him. That one of the companions said that I was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the thigh of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was above my thigh. And Jibreel came to him in that way. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt the pressure and he started to pressure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to put weight on his thigh, that this companion said, I felt my thigh was going to pop. And that's how much pressure he felt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get it and used to be hard on him. And Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his real form, twice to the Prophet alayhi salam. And some scholars say once, they agree that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, when Isra al-Mi'raj sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel to appear to him to his true and real figure. So Jibreel alayhi salam appeared to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His feet were touching the ground and his head was above the heaven. His head was all the way to the heavens and he had two wings. Every wing had 600 wings. It covered the east and the west. And it covered even the light of the moon. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been narrated that he fainted when he saw that. And it's also been narrated that the Prophet saw Jibreel in the first year of the prophecy. Yeah, these are narrations. But indeed, the Prophet saw Jibreel in his real figure once or twice, maybe more, maybe less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And that's the revelation. That's the revelation. That's a wahyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also used to reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any connection. Allah Azza wa Jal would just reveal to the prophets and reveal to the messengers a revelation straight to them where it comes in the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will even speak to the prophets as He spoke to Musa alayhi salam. We'll speak to them direct and they'll speak to Allah, but none of them had seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also shows the respect to the teacher. How Jibreel alayhi salam came in a good manner to learn his religion. He came in a good appearance, and that's why the scholars always encourage those who seek knowledge to come in a proper appearance, in the best appearance. As Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Abu Hanifa, they were very well known when they used to go and teach the knowledge, they used to wear the best of clothing. Imam Malik, when they used to ask him about the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to have a shower and wear the nice clothes and come and speak about the hadith of the Prophet alaihi wasallam as a respect to the hadith of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. So this shows a sign of respecting the knowledge to come in the best and a proper and the nicest figure and sitting in front of the teacher with respect. And back then, that's respect. Sitting in front, your knees in front of his knees, that's respect. And he humbled himself by putting his palms over his thigh. That's his respect. Maybe to me and you, because we live in a different era. We've got chairs, tables. You know, maybe our customs became different, how to respect a teacher. Back then, that's a way of respect. That's a way of humbleness. And then he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions. He asked him number one question, which is the principle and the main thing of Islam and the main thing of our religion is Islam. What's Islam? Okay. I want to be a Muslim, but what's being a Muslim? What's Islam? What's Islam based on? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the five most important pillars of Islam, which is to enter Islam, you must testify that there's no God except Allah and Muhammad, this Prophet and Messenger. No one could enter Islam before they testify that testification. Even if they pray, even if they fast, even if they attend the mosque, if they do not witness that are believers, they would not enter Islam. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone wants to enter Islam, he said, tell him to testify by his tongue and his heart that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad, his Prophet and Messenger. Those, there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad, his Prophet and Messenger, that's what distinguishes our religion from all the other religions. Only one Lord distinguishes our religion from all our religions and following the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following the path of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the scholars say it must be pronounced. It must be pronounced. Someone has got, if someone wants to become Muslim, must be pronounced. Some scholars even say there has got to be two testifications. One for the testification that there's no God except Allah. Another testification for the Prophet that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So, ashadu an la illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And some scholars say one testificate or testify there's no God except Allah and Muhammad is Prophet and Messenger, the scholars say that's not enough. It's got to be two testifications to be testified. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. This is the beginning of Islam. This is how someone enters Islam. Does he have to have a shower? It is highly recommended for someone to have a shower. But if someone wants to become Muslim, we don't tell them, you know, we can't force someone to go and have a shower on the spot. Obviously, later on, if he's going to start praying and so on, then they are going to have a shower. And to pray the prayer, as we know, the salah is the pillars of Islam. With Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people and the hereafter is the salah. If the salah goes ahead, then everything goes ahead. And if the salah doesn't go ahead, then everything doesn't go ahead. Yeah, in other words, if the salah were correct, the rest of the deeds are correct. If the salah was not correct, then the rest of the deeds is not correct. The rest of the deeds is not correct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered the believers to perform the salah in over 70 verses in the Holy Quran. Over 70 verses in the Holy Quran. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَمُودُهَا يعني the salah, it's its pillars. يعني it's the pillars of Islam. وصيام رمضان, fasting the month of Ramadan, which is also a physical worship, the worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and show our true worship to Allah by abstaining away from food and water and sexual contact with the wife. All this is a sign of the worship of Allah azza wa jal, and paying the zakat is a financial worship. Financial worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to worship Him by our heart, by our physical bodies, by our wealth, by our life, by our everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to sacrifice and show our sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by everything. And to perform the Hajj. Hala, if we want to get into details, if into every single one of them, we'll sit down for every single one of them, 10 lessons each. But inshallah, we just cover the most important things. After he answered that, as we said, Jibreel said, oh Muhammad, what you said is true. What you said is true. Then he asked him about the second principle, which is Iman. Iman, what's the belief? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the most important aspects of the belief. It's to believe in Allah azza wa jal. It's to believe in the prophets and the messengers. It's to believe in the holy books. It's to believe in the angels. It's to believe in the day of judgment. It's to believe in the divine destiny. You realize those things that we just mentioned? Most of them are things that you don't see. Most of them are unseen things. You don't see Allah azza wa jal. You haven't seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the messengers. You don't see the qada and the qadar. You don't see what Allah azza wa jal had written on. You haven't seen the day of judgment. You haven't seen the angels. The only thing that you've seen is probably the Quran al-Kareem. And the other words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the belief is believing in things that you have not seen. So it's the belief in the unseen. That's why the scholars say that Iman is in the heart. The scholars say that Iman is in the heart. Islam is what exposes the Iman. So Iman is in the heart and Islam is your actual actions from the outside. That's why Islam testifying there's no God except Allah is only physical action that we could see. Praying is a physical action that we could see. Fasting is a physical action that you could also see. Performing Hajj is a physical action that you could see. Also, paying your zakat is a physical action, a financial action that we could see. But believing Allah Azza wa Jal, how do I know you believe in Allah or not? How do I know you believe in the angels or not? How do I know you believe in the Day of Judgment? It's something that you keep inside. That's why it's called Iman. Iman is in the heart. Islam, it's what's exposed from the outside. At the end of the day, the scholars say both of them are in need of each other. Both of them are in need of each other. There is difference. And some scholars say there's no difference. Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was asked about Islam. He said, Islam is to believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment and the angels and the messengers and the divine destiny and the holy books. And he was asked about Iman. He said, it's to testify there's no God but Allah, to perform the prayer, to fast Ramadan, to pay the zakat, and to perform Hajj. So he answered the answer that he answered for Islam. He answered that for Iman. He answered the answer that he answered for Iman. He answered Islam. Oh, but yani, there is a difference in Islam and Iman at the end because of the verse in the Quran Kareem. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُولُوا لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. That when the Arabians came and said, we believed in Allah. So that Allah Azza wa Jalla told the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told them, you are becoming a Muslim. When Iman goes in your heart, that's when you become mu'min. So Iman is a higher status than Islam. So people become Muslim by testifying there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is Prophet and Messenger. And then they start practicing. Then the Iman enters the heart. And once the Iman enters the heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill up that heart with Iman. The Iman, ikhwani, is the heart is like an empty paper. The more you do good acts, the better dots that come in the heart. The more you do bad acts, the black dot that comes in the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when someone disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, a black dot will be dotted in his heart. And a sin over a sin, a sin over a sin, a dot over a dot, a black dot over a black dot in the heart until the whole heart becomes black. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And that's not something you like to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So the heart is like a paper. You fill it up with Iman, you fill it up with corruption. And remember, ikhwani, darkness and light does not fit in one place. Darkness and light, this place is dark. When you turn on the light, it becomes light. You can't see darkness and light in the same place. When the nur goes in the heart, the darkness comes out. When the darkness goes in the heart, the nur comes out. So don't mix with that. A lot of people mix the darkness with the light and they expect what to combine by both. You tell them, Akhi, pray. Well, look, it's in the heart. Akhi, it's in the heart, but it's not enough. Your actions will clean your heart. Akhi, fast, it's in the heart. Worship Allah, it's in the heart. Stop committing the haram, it's in the heart. Yeah, it's in the heart. Yeah, you believe it, Iman is in the heart, and Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for the good that you did. But it's not enough just to say in the heart. You must act upon what's in your heart. You must act upon what you believe in. If you really love Allah Azza wa Jal, you obey Him. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He could see you, you obey Him. If you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and Day of Judgment, you obey Him. So it's not enough just to say in the heart, I can't sit at work and do nothing, and then the boss comes and says, why didn't you do the work? It's in the heart. Where's the job that you did? In my heart. Where's the task that we gave you? It's in the heart. No one will accept that. In front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you want Allah to accept that from you just to tell Him. When Allah tells you in the hereafter, where's your salah? In the heart of Allah. Where's your fasting? In the heart of Allah. Where's your zakat? In the heart of Allah. It's not enough. You must show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you act upon by believing in Him, act upon the good deeds and do the righteous deeds and follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. So al-Iman, ya ikhwani, is to believe in the unseen things. And there were six principles. But ikhwani, as the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered Islam of five principles and answered Iman as six principles. Are they the only things that Islam asks us to do? Are they the only things that Islam asks us to believe in? No. But they are the major things. The major things what Islam asks us to do. And the major thing that what Islam asks us to believe in. But they're not the only things. There's a lot more things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us. There's a lot more things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to believe in. There's a lot more things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do. So it's not just enough to say, wallah, I'll act upon this and forget about the rest. And ikhwan, at the end of the day, just the salah itself, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said, tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. When people pray sincerely for Allah's sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them go away and leave the haram and the sin. Then he asked him about another high status. So it starts with Islam, then you enter Iman, then there's something higher than that, which is called Al-Ihsan. And Ihsan, ikhwan, it's an Arabic term that means the good of the good. Yani, an Arabic term that gains a lot of the good, or the best of the good. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Ihsan is to worship Allah as you could see Him. But obviously you can't see Him, but He could see you. Allah Azza wa Jalla can see you. Ikhwani, when we reach to that level, that we have, we all believe Allah can see us. That's something that every Muslim believes in. Even those who are in the mirror of the pub drinking beer, they believe Allah could see them. Everyone knows that Allah Azza wa Jalla could see them. Everyone believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could see us. But is it really in the heart so deep? It's not so deep in the heart. It's just on the surface of the heart. Because if we start having that belief that Allah is indeed watching us, Allah is indeed watching me for every single action I do, Allah is indeed watching me every single day, Allah is indeed watching me wherever I am, at any time, at any place, I would never ever disobey Him, ikhwani. Because realize that when we want to attempt to do something wrong, straight away we start looking around, is anyone watching me? And if we see a little kid watching us, we stop our attempt of doing that haram. Then how about when Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us? Why doesn't someone come to his mind and come to his head and come to his conscience that Allah is watching them? In a hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring someone. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring this person who stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person had committed so many sins. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will cover on him and tell him, "Oh my servant, remember that night that you did such and such? And you committed that sin and you thought no one was watching you. And I am the Lord of this universe, I was watching you." So this servant of Allah will start looking around. He thought that Allah had embarrassed him in front of everyone. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will cover him and say, "Oh my servant, I had covered it for you in your life and I forgive you today, go to the paradise." This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa ikhwani, if we have reached that state, we will start believing indeed that Allah is watching me. Although I can't see Allah, but Allah can see me. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah doesn't get tired or go to sleep. Not like us as human beings. Allah does not get tired and Allah does not go to sleep. Allah is watching me every single second of my life. And Allah knows what I do. And Allah knows what I'm attempting to do. And Allah knows what I'm going to do before I even do. And Allah knows what I'm thinking of before I even think of it. If we reach that state, we will start believing, having that belief that Allah is indeed is watching us. That's when you really hit the iman, the truth of iman and the taste of iman. When you start having that belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, that's when you really, really hit the iman. And that's the high status of the iman, al-ihsan. That's one of the highest status of the righteous people, is to reach the status of al-ihsan, which is to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and to know that Allah Azza wa Jal is to worship Allah as if you could see Him, if you can't see Him, you could see you. This is the worship. Then he asked him about the day of judgment. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that's asking us better. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever someone used to ask him about the day of judgment, never used to answer them. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ عِنَّا مَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned them many times in the Quran. They ask you about the day of judgment. Tell them that the knowledge, when is the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself knows it. And some scholars say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shares that knowledge. But majority of scholars, a lot of the scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself knows when is the day of judgment. And then Allah says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. وَمَا أَكْسِي نَا that the day of judgment could be nearby. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, someone used to ask him about that, he used to ask him straight away, what have you prepared for it? Then ask, when is it coming? It's coming. When you die, that's the beginning of your day of judgment. I mentioned that on Monday. When someone dies, that's the beginning of his day of judgment. So I asked him, then give me its signs. Since you're not going to tell me when is the day of judgment, or you don't have knowledge, when is the day of judgment? He told me, give me its signs. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him two minor signs from the so many minor signs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. He said, when a slave woman gives birth to her master, and this is the interpretation of this hadith, that a woman, slave woman, she'll fall pregnant and then she'll give birth to a girl, and this girl will become a master over her mom. Yeah, some scholars say the reality of it took place. Other scholars mention is uquq al-walidain. What happens is a mother that gives birth to her daughter and then later on her daughter disrespects her mother. And back then, yani, disrespecting the parents, which was much, much less than now. Now, disrespecting parents is like an honor and respect. You know, I just told my mom this. You know what? I just bashed my dad. You know, he's happy about it. You know, I just swore at my mom. You know, who was she to tell me what to do? And subhanAllah, these are uquq al-walidain. Disrespect to the parents and disrespect to the mother. And I also mentioned that you find the barefooted shepherds or herdsmen competing with one another with high-rise building. He was just a Bedouin, doesn't even know what's a ceiling. He lives under a tent, doesn't even know what's electricity, doesn't even know what's a brick, doesn't even know what's a carpet. Only knows a tent that's made out of material. SubhanAllah, in one day and night, this man has got high-rise buildings. And I guess this is something that's already taken place. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And then Umar al-Khattab said, I stayed waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give an answer. And this is also a sign of respect to the teacher. And he's sitting down and waiting for the teacher to answer. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Umar, do you know who just came? So Umar al-Khattab said, Allah and his Prophet know better. Also, as a respect to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was Jibreel who just came to teach you your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to teach you your religion. Ikhwan, if we wanted to get into a lot of details, the hadith, I think would have went a lot of details. But I guess we are speaking about the second half of Monday night, in which we're speaking about death and the hereafter. We're speaking about death and the hereafter. For inshallah, we'll be covering the minor signs and the major signs of the hereafter after we finish off. Last week we spoke introduction about death. This Monday, inshallah, we should speak about the grave and the punishment of the grave and the na'im of the grave. And then, inshallah, we'll speak about the Day of Judgment. And before the Day of Judgment, sallallahu alayhi wasallam had warned us about minor signs that will come, and then we'll follow it with major signs. And then the Day of Judgment will take place. And then we'll speak about the Day of Judgment and what takes place on the Day of Judgment. And then we'll enter, inshallah, with the hellfire and finish it off with the paradise. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and understand what we've heard tonight, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us act upon what we hear. Ikhwan, it's not just about learning, it's about learning and practicing. It's about learning and practicing. And remember what Imam Shafi'i said, that if knowledge without practicing was respected, then the most respectable creation of Allah would have been Iblis. Iblis has a lot of knowledge but does not practice. Iblis has a lot of knowledge but does not practice. لو كان للعلم من دون التقى شرف لكان خير خلق الله إبليس. وعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه said that we used to memorize the 10 verses. We would not get to the next 10 verses until we act upon those 10 verses. So we increase our faith with those 10 verses and then we get to the next 10 verses. Inshallah, Ikhwani, we'll meet you once again on Monday. Monday, inshallah, as we said, death and the hereafter. Invite your friends, bring your friends. Inshallah, maybe those lessons will open hearts of some people who their hearts have been closed for a while, or open the mind of some people who their minds have been closed for a while. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guard the Muslim. Okay? Subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.